Hey, I love you.
I love you too, man.
Hey, David, I love you.
I'm okay with you.
Okay. Hey, Ryan, I heard you yelling my name. I love you more. Aww. What up, y'all? How you doing tonight? Is this a missing phone? Hey, missing phone. Anyone? Where? No, oh, there she is. I stole it. I didn't actually steal it. Hey, do me a favor. Turn to the person next to you and say, you look good tonight. Turn to the other person that you ignored for some weird reason and say, you also look good tonight. Hey, how many of you are like, something seems a little bit different about tonight? It seems like it's a little out of whack. Any of you are wondering why it's a little, like we're out of whack a little bit? Anyone? Or did you just not notice? You probably just didn't notice. A couple people. Hey, listen up. This is important. From here on out, we are going to start worship right at 8 o'clock. So at 8 p.m., we are starting with a song. There is a five-minute countdown at 7:55. When that is over, we're going straight into worship. So if you don't want to miss out on worship, you got to get here at 7:55 at the latest 8 o'clock. You got to get here. We're not going to stop. We're doing announcements now. So that's new order. We call it service order in church world. So that's the new service order. Okay? Capiche? Awesome. I got a couple announcements for you. First up, guys. My name's Matt Velasco. Hi, guys. So great to see you. I was in Hawaii 2 weeks ago. Can you tell? Am I tan? Do I look like a surfer? Okay. Are the screens not working? Are we having screen? Oh, they are. Awesome. Hey, guys, follow us on Instagram, westwood.students. We're doing some really cool stuff on there. You're going to start seeing all of the faces of the people that work here at Westwood Students. So it's not just going to be me. It's not just going to be Caroline. It's not just going to be Spencer, but it's also going to be my dude PK, Pastor Kevin over at the Minnetonka campus, as well as my dude Charlie Plump. Hello, that's a name, over at the Bush Lake campus. They're going to be on the social medias too, on the Instagram. So if you want to get to know them, that's the place to do it. We also announce stuff on there also. Next announcement is our podcast. Guys, what I love about the podcast is two things. First of all, if you ever miss out on a week, this podcast is the place to go to get caught up. It's also an awesome opportunity for you to say to a friend who might not know Jesus or to a friend that might be going through a specific circumstance and say, hey, listen to this message. It will tell you about who Jesus is. Or, hey, come to Westwood Students. This is what it's like. Here's what the messages sound like. So it works for middle schoolers, works for high schoolers. I encourage you guys to do that. The next slide, I believe I don't have another slide. I'm right. We got two things coming up. How many things do we got coming up? That's right. That was in sync. That's the first time like ever you guys have been in sync. I am impressed. It's because I went to Hawaii, isn't it? You're like, I got to impress him. He's been gone and he's tan. He looks like a surfer, right? No? Okay. Anyways, the first one is in 2 weeks, guys. First one's in 2 weeks. How many weeks is it in? That's good. It's called I Love My City. I Love My City. It is a service-oriented event where we are going to be serving our city. We're going to be partnering with Launch Ministries in Chaska. They just moved offices, and they need our help. So we're going to go serve them. So as many of you as can come would be amazing. Go online and register. If you don't know how to do that, you can download our app. Just search Westwood Church on the App Store, and you can download it. Then you can click Student Ministries, and you can click Upcoming Events. Then you can click I Love My City, and then you can register. Okay? I Love My City, 2 weeks, be there. You do not want to miss out. The next one is an event that I am ridiculously excited about, and this is the first time that we are telling all of you. Are you ready? Are you ready? One more time, are you ready? On May 15th, say May 15th. We are having our first ever Westwood Students Party. Westwood Students Party. Now, here's what that is. You just heard me tell you that we have two other people who are on staff with Westwood Students, Charlie and Kevin. They lead our student ministries over at our Minnetonka campus and our Bush Lake campus. You might not know that, but Westwood has three campuses. Shout out Bush Lake, Carly McCormick, hallelujah, and Minnetonka too. Carly works there though. All of us. So from grade 6 to grade 12 at all three of our campuses, we are going to be gathering together on May 15th in the Worship Center for the Westwood Students Party. It is going to be an incredible night. It is going to change our culture as a student ministries. I even think, and dare I say, it is going to change the culture of our church. It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait for it. We are expecting over 1,000 students. You do not want to miss out. So, friends, May 15th. Be here. You'll find out more as it gets closer. But here's where I'll tell you. My friend, a hero in the faith, perhaps one of the best communicators I've ever heard, and he has actually been a part of our ministry before. He stood on this stage and taught. You might not know him, but you will. His name is Eric Samuel Tim. Eric Samuel Tim is a preacher. He is an author, and he is a painter, and I challenge you, look him up on YouTube, follow him on Instagram, tell him that Westwood sent you so that he gets super excited. He called me the other day. He's really excited to be here, and I can't wait to have him. So that's May 15th. It's going to start at 7 p.m., so it's going to be an hour earlier than normal. The lobby is going to open up at 6, and you do not want to miss out. We're going to have new merch. It's going to be great. There's like a collab coming out. It's going to be awesome, so don't miss it. What day is that? Amen. Okay. Do me a favor, turn to the person behind you and say, I knew someone smelled good back there. Was that weird? A little weird? Was that kind of weird? A little weird? It was weird. Now turn to the person in front of you, so for all of you, that's me, and say, you are so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, friends, listen up. If you did not hear me earlier, my name is Matt Velasco. I have the privilege of calling this place home. I am the high school ministry director here, so it is my job to do this very thing, hang out with high school students, and it is the biggest blessing I could ever ask for. I love each and every one of you, and I love doing this. We say something around here if you're new. We say this is home. We say this is home not because we believe this is going to be your literal physical home where you sleep, where you eat. Sometimes you'll eat, and once a year you'll sleep at the all-nighter. Woo! But we believe this place is home because of all the things that come with a good and healthy home. Listen up, guys. All the things that come with a good and healthy home, right? There's honesty, there's transparency, there's safety, there's truth, there's accountability, there's community, there's fellowship. And we want high school ministry to be that for each and every one of you. So we say this is home. So if it is your first time, I say to you, welcome home. I am so glad that you are here. I would love to meet you. I would love to shake your hand, give you a high five, give you a hug, whatever it might be. Whatever's not weird for you, let's do it. It's going to be great. We are in a series, the third week of a series called Gold from Golgotha. Gold from Golgotha. Next week's going to be our last week. And we're going to be kicking off a new series called Revival, asking the question, why can't revival happen right here, right now? But for the next 2 weeks, we're taking a magnifying glass, shall I say, or a microscope, and we are shining onto the words of Jesus on the cross. So if Christianity is a new thing for you, we worship a dude named Jesus. That's what all the songs are about. It's not Christian karaoke. It's worship. And we believe we're actually singing to a God who is real and to a God who is alive. And that very God, his name is Jesus. He hung on a cross and died the most gruesome, painful death that historians say has ever existed for us, for you, for me, for your leader, for your teacher, for your coach, for your sibling, for your parents. Died for everyone that might believe. And what's extraordinary about Jesus' time on the cross is he hung there for, I don't remember how many hours. I got it wrong last time, so I'm not even going to try this time. But he was on the cross for a short amount of time. And as he did it, he said just a few sayings. You know, I like to think, and I do think, that the words of a dying man are oftentimes words of extraordinary importance. And the purpose of this series is to zoom in on those words of Jesus and ask, what is its importance for you as a high school student, for you as a follower of Jesus? So tonight, we are going to be in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. I'm reading and teaching from the ESV version tonight. Normally I do NIV, but tonight we're doing ESV. Bible translations, they're all great, so you pick and choose which one's easiest for you to read. Last week, my man Kevin Klingbeil taught, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, my man Kevin Klingbeil taught, and he did an extraordinary job. I listened to that message multiple times, and each time I listened to it, God spoke something different to me. So I would encourage you all to go to our podcast and listen to that again. But he talked about the significance of the term, Father, into my hand, or into your hands, I commit my spirit. But he also brought into it the significance of, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what I'm going to be doing tonight is I'm going to be picking up where he left off, and we're going to zoom in on those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? So if you have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 15. If you don't have them, it's going to be on the screen for you. I would encourage you guys, get a Bible. If you don't have one, we have a free one for you right out at the info spot. By the way, if you're new, go to the info spot. We'd love to get you registered and connected in a small group. Amen. Mark 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour had come, that's noon, so you can circle it and put 12 p.m., there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., it was dark. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, we ask that tonight you would speak to us in supernatural ways. We ask that tonight would be a momentum-shifting moment for each and every one of us in this room, that as we zoom in on these words that you spoke from the cross, just moments before you died for our sin, that we would hear that voice, that we would lean in knowing that it is often a whisper that we must listen to, but that that whisper would become loud in the way that we live our lives. Lord, thank you for these students, thank you for these leaders, but most of all, thank you for your gospel. It is our banner. It is our flag that we carry. We love you, Lord. Praise things your name. Amen. So the words that we're talking about tonight are, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, in order to really unpack what is happening in this portion of scripture, we need to have a little bit of a history lesson. How many of you like history? Seriously, guys? Oh, wait, that's actually a lot more. Fun fact, I studied history in college. It's the best thing ever. I highly encourage you to do it. European history is a lot better than American history, in my opinion. So I'd say do it, because like you can do knights and kings and stuff, and you don't get that in American history. But you know who's saying that's not I, Matt. Stop talking. Okay, I will. History lesson. We got in order to understand what's happening here, we need to zoom way out, and so we're going all the way back to Exodus, all the way back to the end of Genesis, all the way back to the beginning of the narrative of God's people. There is a holiday that many Jewish people still celebrate today called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. That's Y-O-M space K-I-P-P-U-R. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur simply means the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. So if you open up your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6, I'm not saying do it, but if you were to do it to Leviticus chapter 6, you would see outlined, I think it's 6, you would see outlined this ritual celebration. And when you really look at what the ritual was, it's actually quite gruesome because it involves animal sacrifice. But if you didn't know this, for thousands of years, the Jewish people sacrificed animals for their sins. And Yom Kippur was the main and primary day when they would do it. What happened is the high priest of the year. So in Jewish tradition, there is one high priest every year. And a new one was chosen each and every year by God. So the high priest of that year would take two goats. They would take two goats and they'd bring them to the front of the temple. They'd bring them to the front of the temple. And what they would do is they would cast lots. In our context, they would roll dice. They would roll dice, and whichever one landed on the correct number, that would be the one that would be sacrificed. The other one had a different purpose. And so on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would bring two goats, bring them to the front of the temple, roll dice for them, determine which one was going to be sacrificed and which one wouldn't. And then they would step into what is known as the Holy of Holies. If you're here 3 weeks ago, you heard me talk about Holy of Holies. It is a place that was separated by a curtain in the middle of the temple. And it was where they believed that the presence of God resided. It's where they believed if you wanted to encounter the presence of God, you had to go into the Holy of Holies. And there was only one person that was allowed to go there once a year. And it was the high priest. So they'd bring these goats into the Holy of Holies. And here's where it gets gruesome. What they would actually do is they would slit the throat of the goat that was to be sacrificed. And they would then collect the blood of the goat and sprinkle it throughout the whole entire inner sanctuary. And what that symbolized was the blood sacrifice that was of a result of their sin. And so what the high priest was doing is they were saying, essentially, God, we deserve this. We deserve death. We deserve gruesome death. But you have allowed us to live because you've provided a sacrifice. Much like how we believe Jesus was a sacrifice for our sin, much like we believe that Jesus died a death that we could not die because he lived a life that we could not live of perfection, much like that, they looked upon the goat and they said, one that is blameless, one that is spotless, one that has done no wrong, must take the punishment of our sins. And what the high priest would do is they would collect the blood, they would sprinkle it around, but with their hands bloodied, they would rest their hands on the goat that was not chosen for sacrifice. And what that symbolized was the sin of Israel being placed onto something else. You want to know what they did with that goat? They opened up the gates of town and they let it run away. That goat was called a scapegoat. So if you've ever wondered, where do we get our term scapegoat? It's from Yom Kippur, the ancient Jewish sacrificial ritual. But what that scapegoat represented, as it had a bloodied head, a bloodied face, a bloodied neck from the hands of the high priest, what it represented was the sins of Israel no longer being with them. And what is happening here as Jesus is yelling, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is humanity taking our bloodied hands and placing our sin on Jesus to become the scapegoat for us. And so we ask, what is the significance of the death of Jesus on the cross? Not only is it a death that we could not die, but he's actually achieving something that we could never achieve. So often culture likes to tell you, if you're just good enough, if you work hard enough, if you get good grades, if you don't do any bad stuff, you will be okay. You will make a lot of money, and then you'll bring it all into eternity, and you'll be reincarnated into a penguin that gets to slide down hills in Antarctica for the rest of their life. Whatever culture is telling you, that is not the truth. Because the truth, friends, is that the way in which we achieve eternal life is by believing in the death of Jesus. It is not by working hard. It is not by saying the right stuff. It is not by doing anything besides simply believing. Because we believe as Christians that we are all inherently sinful beings. And for a lot of you, I know this is like recap number 1000, but the day you stop believing the gospel message is significant for you is the day when you need the gospel message all over again. Because this is the greatest miracle that has ever existed. And if you ever get tired of it, friends, then you need to rethink your perspective on who Jesus is. He is a scapegoat for our sins. He is one who died a gruesome and perfect death so that we would not have to. See, many theologians actually describe this moment of Christ on the cross as the crucifixion within the crucifixion. That is to say that this is the darkest moment that Jesus had while on the cross. That is to say that this is the darkest moment of Jesus' life. That is to say that this is the darkest moment in human history. It is the day when Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, actually bore the weight of our sins. Many theologians also say that it's at this moment when actually, spiritually, and physically, the sins of humanity was placed on Christ. So many people interpret this and read this as Jesus crying out in agony, having just had all of the sins of all of humankind that starts in the Garden of Eden and ends with the last day of Earth's existence, whenever that is. All of the sins that happened in between at this moment were placed on the shoulders of Christ. And it's as he begins to cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? He becomes the forsaken one. Charles Spurgeon, who if you follow me on Instagram, you know I really, really love. He lived in the 1800s. He's known as the Prince of Preachers. He preached to thousands without a microphone, and he did a really killer job at it. If you ever want to read someone who's amazing at what he does that will help you grow closer to Jesus, I encourage you to read Charles Spurgeon. He says this: there was a denser darkness over his spirit than was all over the land. And out of that darkness came this cry of agony. See, though he was sinless, the bloodied hands of the high priest were placed on the head of Jesus as he became the scapegoat for us. And a lot of you might think, why is that necessary? I'm going to have my dude Fireman Dan come up to the stage real quick. Fireman Dan, where you at? Shout out Southwest Christian High School, JV lacrosse. Anyone here play lacrosse for Chaska? Anyone actually? Well, we're gonna play. What about dudes? Because we're not gonna play the girls. Do we look like athletes? Because we coach the JV lacrosse team at Southwest Christian High School. Can you believe it? I know, it's awesome. They're not surprised at all. Reel back in. So here is the image that a lot of people have when it comes to their relationship with Jesus, or at least Jesus' relationship with humanity. See, a lot of people like to think that if I'm humanity and naturally Dan is Jesus, I have a limp, right? So like my leg's hurting a little bit and I'm kind of holding on to him and he's helping me move a little bit, you know? Like a lot of people think that that's what the relationship with Jesus is like, is that it's simply me holding on to someone who without him I could still walk. Like, don't get me wrong, I could still walk. It would hurt a lot. But that's how they view their relationship with Jesus. But I don't know if you know this about Dan. He's a fireman. And firemen have a very specific, come over here so I don't die. I feel like you're going to drop me if I go over there. Firemen have a very specific type of way that they would carry someone out of the fire. It's called the fireman carry. And this is what it looks like. We're not going to move around. Don't worry. Which way do you want me to go? This is what it looks like. This is a fireman carry. See, friends, the reality here is that let me get this point while I'm in the air. I am humanity. And Dan is Jesus. That's right. And friends, I can't move unless he picks me up. You can set me down. I can't move unless he picks me up. And what's happening, you can go. Thank you so much. What What is happening on the cross is that Jesus is literally fireman picking each and every one of us up. So I want you to imagine this Jesus on the cross, right? He's on the cross, and it's not that there's a chain link of billions of people kind of like holding on to him, right? But the reality is that as he's on the cross, as he's screaming, my God, why have you forsaken me? There are billions of people stacked on his shoulders that he is carrying into heaven. That is what is happening in this moment. And so we ask the question, why is this significant to your journey as a high school student? It's significant because you do not go into your halls limping with Jesus. You go into your halls on the shoulders of Jesus. You don't go into your halls thinking like, I really hope I can get through this day with Jesus. You know, like, it hurts a lot, but like, he's helping me walk a little bit. No, we go into the halls. You go into the halls, and it's literally Jesus carrying you every single place that you go. We sing the song, there's another in the fire, because when you are literally in the fire, there actually is another person in there with you, and he is fireman carrying you out of it. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is perhaps one of the best examples of the atonement. And it's before it even happened. Because what's happening is they are standing in a furnace. Literally, they were put into a furnace because they believed in God. They put them in the furnace and they said, hey, you will either bow down and worship the statue or you're going to burn. And they choose, okay, we're going to burn then. And then as the furnace is turned up, it said that it gets hotter than it's ever been. The king looks into the furnace, into the fire, and proclaims, there is another in there with them that is stopping them from being burnt. And I love to picture this story as if this Son of God, right? Some people interpret it as Jesus, other people interpret it as an angel, but what we do know is it was the presence of God no matter what it was. I like to picture that it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego literally being fireman carried in the midst of this furnace. Band, you guys can come back up. See, friends, what I want you to gather out of this as we wrap it up is that when we read, my God, why have you forsaken me? We also read it in light of 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says this, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, in this moment, as Jesus is crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's actually God for our sake, making Jesus our sin. Not without purpose, but for the purpose of us becoming the righteousness of God. Righteousness just means right relationship. It means holiness. You can't be righteous and hang on to Jesus while you limp. To be righteous requires you to humble yourself and allow Jesus to put you on his shoulders and walk you through life. See, Christ in this moment became our sin so that you could know what it is like to not have sin. Jesus, we love you so much. We ask that tonight you would show up. I ask, Lord, knowing that a lot of these students are in the midst of a fire, that they would look to their left, they'd look to their right, and they'd realize that there's another person in that fire with them. And it's you. That as you cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? We hear your voice responding for Matt's sake. For my sake, for your sake. In fact, in this moment, Lord, I just ask that students just in their own hearts, in their own minds, would be able to hear your voice saying that. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that your voice would respond for your sake. that the Son of God was forsaken so that you would not be. That despite what you did last week, despite what you'll do tomorrow, despite what you did tonight before you came here, you even still died for us. You even still became sin so that we could know your righteousness. And so, Lord, take this worship. Take our hearts. Take our minds. Would we lift our hands in worship? Would we fall on our knees in worship? Would we sing loudly? Would we cry silently? Would we mourn loudly? Would we do all of these things knowing that you are receiving our worship? We love you, Lord. Praise things in your name. Amen.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be in this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. Was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need a reminder of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Could take me the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in this space between what remains to me and this reckoning? Either way, I will bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be. There is another.